Thank you, Brother James. I appreciate that song. It has a special meaning to me. It reminds me of just a testimony in my life and makes me think of my brother. And I use that. I believe that song was sang at his funeral back a few years ago. And we always seen Virginia as a type of a lighthouse. And the state's been very good to me and my family. And the song brings back good memories. So thank you for singing that, Brother James. And Ryan, thank you for preaching God's word. You got some leftover Kool-Aid up here. You mind if I'll pass. John chapter number 11 tonight. John 11. It's a privilege to be able to share an evening and preaching with one of my dear friends, Brother Brian. It's fun. And I know it's not just fun. It's certainly a very serious thing to preach God's word. It's not as fun now as it was earlier today thinking about it. Those butterflies are flying around, but it's good to be saved, good to be in church tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to preach God's word. You're in John chapter number 11, and I want to start off by saying something. About 3 years ago, it was almost 3 years ago exactly, maybe next month would be exact, but 3 years ago, Pastor and I, we flew to Nashville, Tennessee. Remember that, Pastor? And it wasn't because of our love for country music or anything like that. Promise you. And we flew to Nashville for training for to start our school here. That was 3 years ago. And on the second day, I believe it was the second day we were there, Pastor got a phone call that Miss Linda Lowry had passed. That was 3 years ago this year. And so Pastor, he got on the first flight he could find to come back and be at Miss Linda's funeral. Now, his feelings weren't hurt too bad because I just give one example of the training. So they put you through what the students would go through. Some of you have been through that did AC, and you're looking at me like, yeah. And so I remember one time Pastor got out of his seat to go and like check his work at the table and didn't push his chair all the way back in. And so here comes one of those little men, you know, up to Pastor really quickly and just kind of whispers to him, "Now be sure to push your chair in." I wish you could have been there to see the look on Pastor's face like, "Are you kidding me right now?" So his feelings were not hurt, really, to leave training. But I remember Pastor made a statement. This is why I brought that whole story up. Pastor made a statement that it's just stuck with me for 3 years now. And he said, "You know what, Brother Brandon?" He said, if you're there for people when they're in a crisis, they'll never forget it. And he said, on the flip side, if you're not there for people during a crisis, they never forget it. And, you know, we know that to be true, don't we? I mean, from both sides, you know, sometimes we've been there for people and we've been glad that we were, and then maybe there were times that we weren't there for people and we wish we would have been. Or we know people that have been there for us and, man, we never forget about it. Somebody maybe that traveled a long distance to be at a wedding, a funeral, a get-together, and, man, it just makes a lasting impression on us. Or maybe somebody that didn't, and we thought that maybe would have. And so, Pastor mentioned that, and I've thought about it ever since. And I thought about this, you know, one of the great things about being a Christian is we're never going to be alone. You know, like, there's never going to be a time when God's not there. We have the promise in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Pastor shared I know it's a poem, but the footprints poem with the two sets and then the one set, and the man thought that God had abandoned him. When it come to find out that God didn't abandon him at all, it was God was carrying him. Because we never go through the Christian life alone. Or do we? John chapter number 11, there's a story where Jesus, he wasn't there. You know, we could say in our life, you know what, God, he's always there. He promised he'd always be with us, and he did. But just, I mean, John 11, there was a time when Jesus wasn't. And it was hurtful. It was hurtful. Now, it wasn't without its purpose. We'll look at that tonight. But, man, the people that were going through this at this time, and don't you know they were just confused, maybe disappointed. Didn't understand what was going on, okay? okay? And so why would God ever choose not to be there? God, the one that cares about us, the one that loves us, the one that sent his son to die on the cross, why would Jesus in this story choose not to be there when people needed him the most? And so that's what we're going to look at tonight out of John 11. You know the story. It's very familiar. It's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it's a, man, it's a great story. It has a wonderful ending. You know that Lazarus, he gets sick and he eventually dies. Jesus arrives and tells him to roll the stone away, and he calls Lazarus to come forth out of the grave and raises Lazarus from the dead. What a happy ending that this story has. But it's not without its problems. And so that's what we want to look at tonight with the Lord's help. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, John 11, verse number 1, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." And so here's just the context. Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick. They send word, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick," and Jesus decides to stay. Jesus hears of the need, but decides to delay. Turn a page, if you would, if you have to, but look, if you will, at verse number 17. Matter of fact, Jesus delays so much, the Bible says in verse 17, that when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. And so Jesus delays and finally shows up to town 4 days after they've had the funeral. And so you can imagine, man, there's confusion, there's hurt, there's grieving. And so why in the world would Jesus do this? And so I want us to look if you will, verse number 21. Now notice, man, Mary and Martha, they don't understand what's going on. Verse number 21, "Then said Martha unto Jesus," Jesus shows up 4 days after the funeral, "Lord, look, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." What do you think Martha had been thinking about? Right? Where's Jesus? I mean, man, we were close. We have good relationship. I thought for sure, we sent him word days ago that Lazarus was sick. No, nobody's seen him. And now here he comes 4 days later. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died." And we always like to give Martha a hard time, but let's be honest, Mary was thinking the exact same thing. Look, if you will, at verse number 32. When Mary meets Jesus in verse 32, "When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here," the exact same words, "my brother had not died." Lord, we don't understand. If only you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. We gave you enough time. We told you when he was sick, and Lord, if you'd have been here, everything would be fine. I don't understand. Even the friends and family, they didn't understand. When they seen how Jesus cared for this family, notice their comment, if you will, in verse number 36. They said, "Behold how he loved him." And then verse 37, "And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" What's going on here? How can Jesus love me? How can Jesus love my family and not show up? I mean, doesn't he know that if you don't show up in crisis, then you're never going to forget it? Doesn't Jesus understand that? And so, you see where I'm coming from. Man, there's some hurt. There's some heartache going on here in John chapter number 11. You say, well, yeah, but Lazarus raises from the dead. Well, they don't know that's going to happen now. I mean, man, they had several days to sit and think on this. And so I want to draw your attention just to a few points here in this chapter. Notice, if you will, you're already right there around verse 36 and verse 37. The first thing I want you to see is that in this chapter, there's a main theme of love. And it's almost like It's almost like God goes the extra mile just to explain to us, I do love them. I mean, even though I let this happen, even though I intentionally delayed so that Lazarus would die, I want you to know I love them. Okay? It's over and over. I mentioned it already. Jesus, he's troubled in verse 33. He sees the weeping. He's groaning inside. In verse 35, Jesus wept. And they said in verse 36, behold how he loved him. Man, this man, Jesus, he really did love that man. We can tell by watching him. And then turn, if you will, at the beginning of the chapter. Notice how it identifies Mary in verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, what's interesting about that is that occurrence, that ain't even happened yet. That happens in chapter 12. But God wants us to know, man, these people were close. Mary thought a lot about Jesus. Jesus thought a lot about Mary. It wasn't just a casual acquaintance. I mean, there was a close relationship here with Jesus and this family. Then notice the word in verse number 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse number 5. Now Jesus, what's the next word? Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So it's very obvious that God wants us to know Jesus loves these people. Jesus loves these people. The second thing that I want you to see is in verse number 4. Now, this is the first thing that Jesus says when he receives word that Lazarus is sick. Okay? Lazarus is sick. He's not doing well. What do you have to say about it, Jesus? Here's what he says in verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Notice. But for the glory of God. For the glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Can I tell you, it's hard to view sickness and suffering and pain. It's hard to view it that way. But as Christians, that's the way God wants us to see it. You know, ultimately, whatever I'm going through, it should be, whether therefore you eat or drink or get sick or die, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So Jesus says, hang on a minute. This is not about Lazarus, Mary, Mark. This is not about you. This is not gonna go the way you want it to go, because this is about me. This is about my glory. That's what this is about. This is about my glory. So there's a theme of Jesus loves these people, and then there's a theme of Jesus saying, I want my glory to be on display. I want to use this situation. I want to use this heartbreak to show people how good I am. I want them to see how glorious, how magnificent I am. And then the third thing I want you to see is one of my favorite Bible words. And so it ties verse 5 and verse 6 together. Notice, if you will, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Notice verse 6. When he had heard, what's the next word? Therefore. One of my favorite Bible study words. Because every time you see that word, it always triggers you to go back and relate what was said before to what is said afterwards. And so when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Did you get that? This is what's striking. Listen, God loves us. We all know that. That's no surprise, right? When we hear that from the time we're little children. Really, verse number 4, that's no surprise. We know that God's ultimate goal is to glorify himself, and we know that God's worthy of glory. But what's striking is verse 5 says, now Jesus loved them. He loved them. And so the reason why he delayed was because he loved them. Did you get that? When he had heard therefore that he was sick, because he loved them, he stayed where he was and let Lazarus die. Now, if I were to ask you tonight, and I almost did this to begin with, tell me how you know that Jesus loves you. You know what nobody says tonight? Because he let my brother get sick and die. Nobody says that. Nobody thinks that way. But because he allowed me to get this sickness, that's how I know. I know that Jesus loves me because life's just so difficult right now. That's just proof that he loves me. No, I mean, we're gonna say all the happy things. And man, thank God for the happy things. And the happy things are proof that God loves us. But can I tell you, sometimes God loving us, sometimes it feels like this. I mean, that's exactly what God's word says. Now, Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so therefore, because he loved them, he stayed where he was, allowed Lazarus to die. And so, how do you put all that together? How do you reconcile all that, right? And so I think that the way we have to see it is we have to understand really what the Bible teaches us that love is. And we don't have time to uncover all of it tonight, but we understand this, that if I love somebody and if God loves me, he's going to give me absolutely what's best, right? He wants what's best for me. I don't always know what's best. But what's best for me, it don't always feel good, right? Kind of like taking medicine, right? Sometimes I had to take medicine and it's good for us, but it don't feel good. And so in this story, it's understanding what it's like to be loved by God, what's best for us. And so here's one thing God wanted them to see, okay? God didn't show up to heal. He wasn't going to show up to heal. He was going to show up to raise the dead, right? Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Could he have healed? Absolutely. And he could have showed up and healed Lazarus. I mean, that's what he spent his ministry doing. He said, you know what? Got something better for him. Got something better for him. And it's going to require me to stay, and it's going to hurt. But I'm not going to hold back because I know this is what's best. And so therefore, because I love them, I'm not going to show them my healing power. I'm going to show them my resurrecting power. Because if I show up now and he's not dead, I can't. They'll never know that side of me. So if this sickness is for the glory of God, God says, I want to show them something about me that maybe they don't know about. And so when I see things about God, when you see things about God, when you have to go through things, when you go through the trials and the difficulties of life and it allows you to see something about God you would have not seen otherwise, you know what that is? That's God saying, I love you. You know why I did that? Because you would have never seen that if I hadn't put you through that. You'd have never seen my grace in that way if I'd have never put you through that trial. You'd have never seen my strength in that way if you hadn't have been weak like that. You'd have never seen how that I could bring something together if at first I hadn't allowed it to fall apart. So you see kind of what God's doing in this story? He loves them too much to not give them what's best for them. And that's tough because it don't feel like love all the time. Love is anything that will show me more of God. Lord, if it's going to show me more of you, that's a loving thing for you to do for me. If that means sickness, so I can experience your strength and your comfort, that's a loving thing for you to do, God. What better thing can you think of than to know or see or experience something about God? There's nothing better. And sometimes it takes the difficult things in life to show us those sides of God. Now, turn with me, if you will, to the end of the story, verse number 45, and let's make one application before we get done. Now, after the story's over, right, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. What a great ending. And verse 45 says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now, it's easy to believe after you see it, right? But what about during those 4 days, right, when they were looking for Jesus? When where's Jesus? When we sent word, we haven't seen him. Day two, have you seen Jesus? No, I haven't seen. Day three, haven't seen Jesus. And so what about during those times? And so there's people here tonight that's kind of where you are. You're kind of in that four-day period. And you're looking around and you're saying, Lord, I don't don't see you. There's this job situation that I've been praying about, and I don't see you, God. And there's this physical issue going on. There's this family issue going on, and God, we've been praying about it, and you know, but Lord, we don't see you. You're looking, but what's God looking for? There's a few times it's very obvious what God's looking for. Jesus comes on the scene. Look, if you will, at verse number 14. Jesus said unto them, his disciples, Lazarus is dead. Verse number 15, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. You say, that's pretty cold. To the intent you may what? Believe. Believe. Man, it's easy to believe after Jesus raises the dead. You know when Jesus wants us to believe? During the 4 days. Before he works the miracle. Before he fixes things. Before he heals you. Before he works it out. Before he puts it back together. That's when he's looking. We're looking for him, and he's looking at us saying, I just wish somebody would trust me. I just wish my people would look to me and trust and know that I love them. And God's trying to tell somebody tonight, I love you. He knows it's difficult. He's allowed it to be that way because he loves you. And he wants you to trust him. And so he tells the disciples, this is so that you will believe. And then he tells Lazarus, he tells Martha in verse 25 that he's the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he looks at Martha and he says, believest thou this? Well, would somebody just believe? Later on in the story, he says, roll the stone away. What's Martha say? No, no, Lord, no, not now, by now. Lord, he stinks by now. Right? And the whole time, they're just saying, yeah, Lord, we'll believe, and they don't believe. Roll the stone away. Lord, you can't do that. Verse number 40, notice Jesus replied to Martha. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest what? Believe. You know what's amazing to me? They didn't believe him. And he said, if you'll believe, I'll show you the glory of God. They didn't believe, and he still showed them. Man, aren't you glad that God just condescends like that to our level? And so many times during my 4 days, when I just won't believe, and things are tough, and I'm looking around, and I can't see God, and I lose faith, and I lose courage, and I get discouraged, and you know what? Sometimes he's just still good anyways. And he still comes through anyways. And he still shows himself strong and shows himself faithful and shows himself trustworthy in spite of my lack of faith. And so tonight, sometimes God has us in that 4 day period and he's looking for faith. That's what he's looking for. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? Father, thank you for your word. And we're thankful that you love us. Lord, just to be honest, it doesn't always feel like you do, but we're thankful that we know that you do because the Bible tells us so. And Lord, I pray that you would just search our hearts, help us to be honest with you, and I pray that you would help your people tonight. In Jesus' name.